First epistle of John. The first epistle of John. And I want to read one verse to you, and then we're going to move right along. In the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter, and the 19th verse, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." You see that? He loved us first. Hallelujah. Now we can learn a lot from that. We like him, right? Yes, we are. We're told to be like him. Amen. In 1 John, you have 1 John. I want you to go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 16 in chapter 3 of 1 John. It says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Glory be to God. He loved us first, and through his actions, he's showing us how to love. Do you know the Bible is a love book? The New Testament is a love book. We're told time after time after time, love one another. Love one another. The person may be imperfect. Do I have any perfect people in the sanctuary? In other words, you don't make any mistakes. You know, you're all perfect. I know the answer to that. None of us are perfect. Hallelujah. Not yet. But we have a perfect spirit living on the inside of us. Glory be to God. And so when we do miss it, and we shouldn't try to miss it, but sometimes being human, you do. Sometimes you're having a bad day and the wife may say something, the husband may say something, the kids may say something, or act in a certain way. And all of a sudden, you find yourself saying or acting in a way that you know you shouldn't have. But I'm so glad to know that even if I miss it, I can go to the Father. I can repent and I can go to the Father and ask him to forgive me, and he'll do that. But you know what's important to God? It's important to God for you to go to that person that you offended and apologize to them too. Let them know you're sorry you offended them. Amen. Now that's the hard one there. That's the thing that some folks struggle with. They can go to God. But the person that said something or did something that upset them, they find it difficult to go to them and say, "I'm sorry, forgive me, I was wrong." But you know something? When we do that, we please God. We please God. Amen. Well, let me move on. And speaking of love, you ever wondered why God loves us so much? When many people have problems loving themselves, you do know that God wants you to love yourself. Let me say that again. You do know that God wants you to love yourself. The Word of God tells us to love our neighbor as we what? As we love ourselves. Amen. We're living in a time now when people hate themselves. They don't like the way they look. They don't like the way they look. They wish they were tall. They may be born short. They wish they were tall. Or they may be tall and wish they were short. And, you know, folk just, not everybody, but some folks just don't like themselves. I'm here to tell you right now, love yourself. I know what I'm telling you is very, very simple, but sometimes folks have issues with simple things. Love yourself. Hallelujah. Make a decision that you're going to love who God loves. And God loves you. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how much God loves us. Amen. Think about that for a moment. And I think we covered this some a while back, but I wanna go back to it again. Turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms. The eighth psalm. Hallelujah. And David asked a question. He was amazed. And I think about it sometimes myself. But God is awesome. He asked a question. What is man that you are mindful of him? He's always on your mind. Why is he on your mind? And the Son of Man that you visit him. Matter of fact, let me read the rest of this. Just hang here with me. It says, for you made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with what? With what? Glory and honor. You made him to have, listen to this, dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. In other words, God made the earth and he put man in charge of it. Hallelujah. All sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. And then listen to what he said. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to move on, but I want to say something. if you feel like nobody else loves you, God does. If you feel like nobody cares about you, God does. So lift up your head and tell yourself, I am somebody because I'm created in the image and the likeness of God. I am somebody. I am somebody. God made me somebody. I've shared this with you, and I want to share it before. I mean, I've shared this with you before, but I want to share it with you again. I was in prayer. This has been years and years ago. But I was in prayer. I wasn't even in pastoring at that time. And the Lord spoke something to me because I was struggling with some things. And you don't always have to meet man's approval. You want to meet God's approval. And the Lord spoke this to me. He says, I have created you as good as any other person I ever created. Did you grab that? In other words, he was telling me I was no less than anybody else he created. I don't care who they were or who they are. And the same thing applies to you. He said, I've created you as good as anybody, but no better. In other words, I don't have to hang my head down because I feel like I'm less than anybody. But on the other hand, I've got to understand that I am no better than anybody else. So you know, I can't take them. In other words, let me say it this way. I'm not to have an inferiority complex, but I'm not to have a superiority complex either. Amen. Because God created all of us the same, and he loves all of us equally. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now with your neighbor, it's going to be different. They may not love you like you truly deserve to be loved, but you shouldn't allow that to affect your life. You got to know God loves you. So David said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why are you so taken with mankind? He's talking about God himself. And the writer of Hebrews said the same thing. What is man? What is this man that you are mindful of him? And when I say man, I'm talking about mankind. That's man and woe man. Male and female. God loves us all. Hallelujah. And so we ought to love ourselves. Now I want you to understand something. Go with me to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. Now, I want to say this. Whether you're saved or unsaved, God loves you. We just read that in the Word of God, and I quoted it to you, John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he loves you. And let me hold your place there at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going there. But now some people have taken the fact that God loves us to the extreme. What I mean by that? That means some people say, well, you know, if God loves us that much, how can a loving God send anyone to hell or let anyone go to hell? So some people want to say, well, you know what? Since God loves me, he's not going to allow me to go to hell. So I can do anything I want to, live any way I want to. Amen. Turn that down a little bit for me, brother. No, you can't. Jesus himself said you must be born again. God loves us. There's a song we used to sing years ago. Oh, how he loves you and me. Anybody remember that song? Anybody? Tony does. I can't sing it. I'm not even singing it in the right key, but but it's a beautiful song. It says, oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. I think, what else could he give? Or something like that. I may have the words wrong. But we got to know that God loves us so much, all of us. But him loving us alone will not keep a person out of hell. He loves us so much that he gave us the freedom of choice. Amen. He loves us so much that if we want to go to hell, he loves us enough to let us go. If we reject Jesus, God won't like it, but he will respect our choice. So don't fall for that doctrine. Well, it don't matter. God is a God of love. Live any way you want to. Do anything you want to. You know, we all going to heaven. That's not true. Amen. But now, those of us that are born again, you have 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, I'm glad you do. I turned it the wrong place. Let me get back over here with you. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Listen to what the word says about us. This is the born again believer. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into what? Oh, glory be to God. I've been chosen. I've been called out. Hallelujah. I'm a special person because I belong to God. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world because I belong to God. Verse 10 says, who once were not a people, but are now who? The people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and just tell them, say, I'm special. Hallelujah. We're special because we know Him. We're talking about God's love for us. Now, God created Adam and everything was perfect, right? But Adam fell and God provided a way out for mankind. I love this. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It talks about a lot of things, but it talks about the last days. It talks about the catching away of the church and all those things. But in verse 45, it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, a life-giving spirit. Now, when God created Adam, He created a perfect man, right? He created a perfect man and gave him a wife, Eve. She was a perfect woman. You know the story. And I'm talking about the love of God. Now, God created Adam, and He created Eve, set them in the garden, and God was so happy. God was so pleased with them. He would come down in the evening and fellowship with Adam and Eve, you know, and just have a blessed time together with them. But Adam failed. He disobeyed God. And because he disobeyed God and obeyed the devil, he turned everything that David was talking about, he turned everything over into the hands of the devil. And he became the god of this world, little g. Everybody say little g. Whenever I talk about that, I want people to understand that Satan is not God himself. He would like to be, and he tried several times and failed, and he's going to try again and fail. At the end of the tribulation, he's going to try to take over and do his thing. He's going to fail again. And if you're serving the devil, you're serving a failure, a loser. He is a loser. But God was pleased with His creation. But then when the first Adam failed and disobeyed God and obeyed the devil, their relationship was severed. Adam became spiritually dead. But God says, I'm going to send a second Adam. I'm going to send a second second Adam to undo what the first Adam did. Are you still with me? So let's read on. So now, verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, that's Adam, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also those who are made of dust, and as, let me back that up and read that again, verse 48, and as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we are, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now I know I read a lot there, but let me explain this to you. God created Adam. Adam failed. Adam was the natural man. God sent another Adam. His name is Jesus. And he undid what Adam did through his death, burial, and resurrection. Are you still with me? And now God is telling us, and I love this. We were like the image of Adam, the natural. But one day, we're going to be like him, Jesus Christ, the spiritual. John the Apostle said, brothers, sisters, I don't yet know what we shall be. But this one thing I do know, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Oh, the love of God. Listen. When Adam came, God set him in a perfect situation. But he failed, disobeyed God. When Jesus came, he took back from the devil everything that he stole. Matter of fact, the Bible said it made a show of him openly. You ever heard the saying, what the devil meant for bad turns out for our good? When we trust God? Guess what? Adam fell, and it got even better for us. Because now we are a little lower than the angels. But the Bible tells us one day we will be created in his image. Well, naturally we're created in his image and his likeness, but one day we're going to have a brand new body, a spiritual body. And we are not going to be limited to the earth. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and get you, that where I am, you will be also. I hope you stand with me on this. Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm fixing to wind this up. Ephesians, the second chapter. I want you to see this. Ephesians, the second chapter. Now, I guess I could have titled this, when the devil mess it up, God makes it even better. Hallelujah. Listen to these verses. Wow. Now, understand, this is the future of us who are born again. All right? Are you ready for this? Ephesians chapter 2. And you, verse 1, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Talking about the love of God. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's where we were at one time. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, everybody say, but God. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy, because of his what? Not just love, but what? Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. By faith you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. And listen what he did. And raised us up together and made us do what? And sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I just want to let you know, I'm already heavenly. It's because of God's love, his great love. Hallelujah. They know who I am in heaven. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he did. God took something that the devil messed up and he made it better. He deceived Eve. Adam obeyed and ate the forbidden fruit. They got kicked out of the garden. But God had another plan. And he made it even better. Through Christ Jesus, we have been made to sit together with him in heavenly places. We are natural citizens here in the earth, but what's more important is the fact that we are spiritual citizens in heaven. Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. You hear me? Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory be to God. I hope you're getting this. Now, look at verse 7. We're talking about the love of God. And David said, what is man that you just so taken with him? What is man that you're so mindful of him? Well, look at this, verse 7. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. I'm getting ready to close here. In ages to come, you and I that are born again will be put on display. And those in ages to come will see the goodness of God in us. they will see the grace of God in us. They will witness the love of God in us. We sing the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we don't know everything there is to know about the worlds to come. All we know is what the Bible tells us. But we will be viewed by others in ages to come. And they'll say, look, there's one of them. God delivered them. They're seated with him. It's all because he loves us. So, stop complaining about yourself. I don't have this and I don't have that. I wish this, I wish that. Thank God that you know Jesus. You look in the mirrors, your mirror, and you see a few wrinkles that you didn't have last year. Don't get upset. Just know that you got a new body waiting on you, and there are no wrinkles. No wrinkles. The question has been asked on numerous occasions, how old will we be in heaven? Well, I don't know the answer to that. I'll tell you that right now. But I've heard folks speculate that all of us look like we're in our 30s. Hallelujah. I can't prove that biblically, but some folks seem to think we'll be around the age Jesus was when he was crucified. Now, you know, I'm just saying what I've heard others say, but I can tell you this, we're going to look good. It ain't going to have nothing to do with us, it's going to have everything to do with him. Glory be to God, because God loves us so much that he says, okay, Adam fell, I'm going to redeem them, and this time I'm bringing them up here with me. They're going to live with me. Jesus says, in my house are many mansions or dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you shall be also. The Apostle Paul says that we are going to rule and reign with him. Glory to God. You know, I'm not being mean, but, you know, we sing different songs. You know, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to rest a little while. Or when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk around Jerusalem all day. No, there ain't going to be no slothfulness up there. Why? Because you won't get tired. Tired is an earthly thing. Forever young. Forever young. Why am I ministering this to you? So that you can know that God really does love you. And understand, when you say, well, Pastor, I'm so imperfect. Cast all that stuff on him, and he'll take care of it for you. If you follow his instruction, he'll see you through. Don't tell me if God was willing to send his only begotten son to suffer on this earth for us, and him die and go to hell for us, don't tell me he won't bless my life. Don't tell me he won't answer my prayers. Don't tell me he doesn't love me and care about me. Yes, we deal with things on this earth because we're in the world and you deal with things of the world. But you got to know God loves you. He loves you. And he promised you he would never leave you. And he would never forsake you. Say that with me. He'll never leave me. And he will never forsake me. Hallelujah. That's listen to me. That's God's commitment to us. So what are you dealing with right now? You walk right on through it by faith. Hallelujah. You call those things that be not as though they were. And you keep on moving. You keep on moving. You keep on trusting God. Because he's on your side. If God is on our side, who can be against us? If God is on our side, who can defeat us? And that's nobody. Because God is for us. Father, we thank you for loving us so much.